This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're live. Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah. We'll start, inshallah, in a few seconds. Inshallah. At 8:15, inshallah. Bismillah. Barakallahu feek, inshallah. Yes. Yes, alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send salat and salam upon his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And we ask Allah rabbil alameen to bless us. Wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Tanweer. We ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, to bless the remaining days that we have before Ramadan, to allow us to get ready for it, to receive it with enthusiasm, with the right intention, with the right attitude, and to make it a blessed Ramadan. It is indeed blessed on its own. Ramadan is blessed on its own. But we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it a blessing for us so that we receive these blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal in it, and we enjoy the month of Ramadan as a month of rahmah, a month of forgiveness, a month of peace and tranquility, because we're coming closer to Allah Azza wa Jal and we're trying to achieve in it the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. So in the previous three sessions, alhamdulillah, we talked about some of the fiqh of fasting and the manners of fasting and the virtue of the month of Ramadan and what it brings to us and what we want to get from it. So today, inshallah, we will kind of bring all of this together, and we'll be talking about strategies or ideas, suggestions that inshallah will help us. I hope that they could help, and you probably have your own experience with Ramadan, your own hints at probably what works for you and maybe what doesn't. And if you have anything, inshallah, that you would like to share with us, please write it in the comments. If it's helpful, I will share it with everybody. And this way you'll be helping, alhamdulillah, everybody else who's listening, and helping yourself in the sense of doing something pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's a form of advice, a reminder. So if something works for you, let us know that it had worked for you. Or if something did not work for you, alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, and if something did not work for you, then let us know why it did not work for you and how you've overcome some of the challenges of Ramadan, because Ramadan could be challenging. Ramadan could be challenging. And especially, we'll address this, inshallah, briefly, with COVID, it could be extra challenging. So I want to begin with, inshallah, as I began when we were talking about the manners of fasting, the adab in it, or the fiqh in it. The first thing that I want to recommend, inshallah, is to think about your objectives in mind from this fast. So what do I want to get from it? Because when you have objectives, when you have goals, you're more likely, inshallah, to work to achieve and realize those goals. But if you enter Ramadan without a plan, without objectives, well, we wander aimlessly from one day to the other, or one week to the other, languishing, complaining, tired, and that is because of lack of focus. So what is my objective from fasting? So that's the first thing to determine. Ask ourselves that question. Now, we have common objectives available to all Muslims, and all Muslims know about these objectives of the fast because they are in the Quran and in the Sunnah. But we also could have personal objectives, specific objectives that pertain to you and me. What are the common objectives of the fast? Taqwa is one of them, that I want to achieve greater levels of taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, where I am conscious of Him, aware of Him. I'm doing what He likes and I'm avoiding what He hates, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I'm living a life of taqwa, not judged by my desire, but by what Allah loves. And that is one of the greatest lessons of Ramadan and of life in general and the lessons that will take you to Jannah and protect you from hellfire is this lesson. The lesson of I want something and Allah wants something else. The thing that takes people to hellfire is that they put their wants ahead of Allah Azza wa Jalla and what He wants. The thing that takes people to Jannah, simply that they put what Allah wants ahead of what they want. That's what it is. So if you think about it, Ramadan is teaching you taqwa to take you to Jannah. So لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you will achieve taqwa, as Allah clearly states in the Quran that this is an objective of this fast, that objective takes you to Jannah. So taqwa, entering Jannah, escaping from hellfire, these are common objectives and we should be aware of them and try to achieve that in the month of Ramadan. Getting our dua answered, escaping from the clutches of shaitan and sins and the addiction of sin. What else do we have? Cleansing our heart, loving Allah Azza wa Jalla more. These are common objectives because every single Muslim wants these things and they're common to all of us. We have maybe also more personal objectives. That is, I may be struggling with a particular sin that I want to overcome, a particular weakness that I want to overcome. I may be going through some struggles in my life and I want to connect with Allah Azza wa Jalla to make dua, to remove this pain and these struggles and that affliction. Or maybe I want to connect with Allah Azza wa Jalla on a deeper level because I have felt for a long time that I'm distant from Him. I want to be closer and I want to be better, but I've not given myself the opportunity, or maybe life, Allahu A'lam, did not give me that opportunity to be closer to Allah. So maybe Ramadan will be this opportunity where I will be able to reconnect with Allah, because everything there incentivizes worship and, you know, obedience and listening to Allah. You know, people, inshallah, I hope that's the case around you. And if not, you know, may Allah Azza wa Jal make it so. But, you know, it's going to be difficult. But I hope that the case around you is that you do have people around you who are reading the Quran and praying and reminding you, even if they don't say anything, but only through their behavior, reminding you that there is something special coming, and that is Ramadan. And we need to change our behavior so that we enjoy this month and receive maximum benefit from it. So that is a great reminder if you have somebody around you who's doing this, because it motivates you, right? So a personal objective could be, I've been distant from Allah and I want to get closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or I want to adopt a greater ibadah. I want greater devotion because I'm not feeling it. So I want to read the Quran more and I want to adopt this even after Ramadan. I want to pray at night. I want to adopt this even after Ramadan. So kind of a jump, a higher level of ibadah and a connection to Allah Azza wa Jalla. That could be a personal objective, or controlling my shahwa, my desires. That could be something. There, I've been troubled by my desires. I'm always sinning and I want to be able to control it. Or I'm quick to anger and I need to control my anger. And Ramadan could give me this break that allows me to be in control, not my anger, but my self, or, you know, my taqwa can control my anger. Could be that I am bad at time management, and Ramadan could teach that to me, because it's very specific. This is when you start, this is when you end, this is when you pray. So that could maybe teach me time management. So there are a lot of things, right? Or addiction to sin. We talked about addiction to sin. I'm going to repeat this another time too. Ramadan is a great opportunity to adopt new habits and let go of other habits. Ramadan is really a good opportunity to do this, because you find yourself letting go of a lot of things that we gotten used to. When we sleep, when we wake up, when we eat, what we eat, right? A lot of our habits change. And so if we're able to break away from these, the seemingly basic acts in our lives, and alter that, that also leads us to believe, inshallah, with the help of Allah, that other things can change as well. That we're not simply helpless, we're not simply defenseless against the shaitan, or simply victims to our habits and circumstances. No, inshallah, with the help of Allah, you can rise above your circumstances and say, this is not the way that it's supposed to be. This is not how I'm supposed to be, so I'm going to change. So Ramadan allows it. And as it progresses, day after day, it allows you to cement this habit. So let's take any example of anything that is wrong or just simply, you know, not beneficial. You leave it the first day, the second day, the third day, the first week, the second week. After 29 to 30 days, you've developed, inshallah, that ability. I think we've lost. And some issues with Facebook, I think. Anyway, inshallah. Let me see. We're back. So we're having issues with Facebook. Khair, inshallah. So we can, inshallah, as we said in Ramadan, look at both the common objectives, right? Common objectives are the forgiveness of Allah, Jannah, escaping hellfire, all of that. But also look at your specific situation. What is it that you want from Ramadan? And try, inshallah, to make this a specific mission of yours and mine. Like something I want from Allah Azza wa Jal in Ramadan. So you ask Allah for it every single day. Every single day. I want, you know, a taqwa. I want protection from the shaitan. I want protection from, Inshallah. So let me work on Facebook. Finish. I'm sorry, guys. Okay. Let's try to go online again. Share that. And let's see. Let's go live. Okay. So we're back live again. Hopefully, it works without interruption this time. Khair, inshallah. Okay. Sorry about that. So we're back, inshallah. So I hope everybody who was on Facebook will be able to connect with us again, inshallah. Okay. So look at your common or specific goals in Ramadan. As we said, you may have a specific thing that you want from Allah Azza wa Jal. Think about it. What is that thing? And ask Allah for it every single day. And maybe, subhanAllah, you might be amazed. If you are persistent and you're asking Allah, you have doubts, you have struggles, you have an illness, you want to achieve something great in your life, you want, subhanAllah, if it's pleasing to Allah and if it's not harmful, keep asking Allah for it. You never know, perhaps by the end of Ramadan or by the end of the next year, inshallah, before the next Ramadan comes, you may find out that your dua is answered. And that is because why? Because that was an objective of yours in mind in Ramadan. So really ask your children. You want Allah to protect them. You want Allah Azza wa Jal to give them, you know, Jannah, to protect them from hellfire, to do something. Make this dua. So that is an objective, inshallah, when we're fasting. So think about it. What do you want from Ramadan? Think. And even if you want, if it helps, write it down and make this one of the goals that you want to achieve, inshallah, in Ramadan. Now, another thing, inshallah, to keep in mind is that, as we said, Ramadan could be a struggle for some of us. Could be a struggle in the beginning. Could be a struggle in the middle. Could be a struggle because of COVID. Could be a struggle because we're just simply away from family, or it's hard for us to fast, whatever it is. Understand, inshallah, that there are ways to cope with these difficulties. First of all, the more difficult a thing is, a ibadah is, the more rewarding that thing is. إِنَّمَا أَجْرُكِ عَلَى قَدْرِ نَصَبِكِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha, you'll be rewarded in proportion to how difficult, to the difficulty that you see. We do not create difficulty that we're not supposed in ourselves seek difficulty or create it. But if we encounter difficulty, let's say in Hajj or in Umrah or in fasting or any particular ibadah, because there's some difficulty in it. And sometimes it's more difficult for us than other times. And for some people, it's more difficult for them than other people. The more difficult it is, the more that Allah rewards you for it. So I want us, inshallah, to keep that in mind. And the more that you remember this, and again, if you need to write that down in order to remind yourself of it every single day of Ramadan, today is hard. I'm having a headache. Today is hard. My stomach hurts. I don't have energy. I'm not in the mood. So if it's difficult, but you're pushing and you're striving, understand that Allah Azza wa Jalla rewards you more in that day than on a day when you're not struggling. So push through it. And ask Allah for assistance. That's another thing to keep in mind. If fasting is difficult, you don't have to experience this on your own. Where is Allah Azza wa Jal? Especially in a month like Ramadan. Say, Ya Allah, it's difficult for me. Help me with it. Carry some of that burden, Ya Allah. Carry some of that burden, Ya Allah. Help me with it. Assist me with this fast. Assist me with this ibadah. And as soon as you ask Allah Azza wa Jalla, and especially when you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, which is a treasure from the treasures that are with Allah Azza wa Jalla underneath the throne, it was delivered or sent down from there. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It is seeking Allah's assistance when you say that. So you'll find that Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring ease to you. Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring ease to you in your ibadah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا As Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah At-Talaq, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ The one who has taqwa of Allah, Allah will give him ease in his affairs. Which is, subhanAllah, that's another dimension of fasting. That fasting that looks like hardship, but it's supposed to achieve taqwa. That taqwa brings ease. SubhanAllah. Brings ease in this life and brings ease in the hereafter. So, in fact, when you fast and you persist in fasting, Allah will give you ease in Ramadan, bi-idhnillah, and ease beyond Ramadan, and ease when you meet Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, remember, if there is difficulty in fasting, remember that Allah Azza wa Jalla rewards you more because of it. So embrace it. Don't run away from it. Don't resent it. Embrace it. And know that it will pass. It will go away. Right? The beginning of Ramadan could be difficult. But when we get used to it, alhamdulillah, fasting bi-idhnillah azza wa jal for most people will be a breeze. It'll be easy. By the end of Ramadan, it'll be, you know, like normal life. You're normal. It's normal. It doesn't affect you as much. The body gotten used to it. The soul had gotten used to it. It's not difficult anymore, alhamdulillah. And that tells you something about life in general. That life in general, it's like that. It's difficult to adopt something in the beginning, but once you change, it's easy. And that change becomes habit, a new normal. And you don't even think twice about it. So that's something beautiful. That's another lesson and something beautiful to keep in mind, inshallah. So you're not alone. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you're struggling, ask people around you, especially experts or people of knowledge. I'm struggling with this. What do I do with it? Whether it's physical. If it's physical, ask a doctor, ask a physician, ask a personal trainer, a fitness expert. Or if it is spiritual, religious, ask someone of knowledge. I'm struggling with this. I can't understand fasting right. I don't understand, you know, I don't have the right mindset. How do I develop all of this? When you do this, inshallah, you'll find out that Allah Azza wa Jal will assist you because you're trying to find a solution and Allah will guide you to it. So don't surrender to the difficulty. Don't surrender to any challenges that may impede you. No, inshallah, that you can be overcome all of that. And bi-idhnillah, reap the full or the maximum benefits of Ramadan that are available. But understand that there's always struggle in every ibadah. Don't let that dissuade you. There is struggle in salah. There's absolutely struggle in hajj. There is struggle when you want to give zakah. There is struggle when you want to be kind all the time or honest all the time. Don't let the struggle persuade you not to do the right thing. Continue to do it, and Allah sees you when you're doing it, and He rewards you immensely because of it, alhamdulillah. Now, another thing, you know, that we might be experiencing at this particular juncture, we are either now motivated, or some would say, I still don't have enough motivation to go into Ramadan. I'm not motivated, okay? I don't have the energy. I don't think I can do a lot. And it could be, you know, COVID could play a part in all of this, right? The distancing and the lockdown and the anxiety, that could be one thing that has affected us. That is a possibility. Our spirit is down, or we're not have family around, or we may not have the support of the masjid and the people in the masjid and the communal ibadah. So maybe I'm down because of all of this, and I don't think I have the energy. It's first of all, it's important to acknowledge this, that this is happening. And if you know the reasons, it's also important to inspect and understand why this is happening, because inshallah, if you know the reasons, you can solve the problem. But with all of that said, inshallah, we also cannot surrender to that feeling and say, I simply don't feel like it, so I'm not going to do it. Of course, we will not going to feel like doing a lot of good things in our life. And unless you push yourself, or when you were younger, somebody pushed you, you would not do these things. You would not study. You would not go to the masjid. You would not read the Quran. You wouldn't do a lot of beautiful things in your life. But you know that you need to push yourself. And once you push yourself and overcome that initial obstacle, it'd be easier then later. Okay? So if you say, I'm lacking motivation, first of all, we say, start making dua right now for Allah Azza wa Jal to give you that spark. To open, as Allah opens the doors of Jannah, to open the door of righteousness for you. So that you start doing what you need to do in the month of Ramadan as it starts. We're not saying overwhelm yourself. That's another thing that we're going to caution against. Don't overwhelm yourself. But at the same time, you need to push yourself. And you need to walk this kind of balance between not doing way too much and then you burn out in the beginning of Ramadan, or not pushing yourself and taking it so easy that you're losing days and nights of Ramadan. No, you need to push yourself. And for that, as we said, start making dua and asking Allah Azza wa Jal for His tawfiq, for His facilitation, for His guidance, for His assistance. Ya Allah, help me and make this a blessed Ramadan and give me the energy and keep making this. Second, keep making dhikr of Allah. And then get yourself excited about it. We're not saying that you need to spend 24 hours in ibadah, but now the gates of Jannah are open. What do you want from those gates? What do you want from Jannah? This is your and my opportunity, subhanAllah, perhaps, maybe, right? Maybe, who knows? You will, you know, once we all die, you will look at one of these Ramadans, and it could be this Ramadan. And it could be this Ramadan where Allah has said to you, you are forgiven. Right? And maybe other Ramadans, you'll be busy, you'll be sick, you'll be somewhere else, and you will not have this opportunity. So when we say this could be your last Ramadan, we're not saying that you're going to die tomorrow. But that tawfiq, right? Where Allah Azza wa Jal just leads you to Jannah, that tawfiq, it could be available this Ramadan for some of us. Maybe other Ramadans or maybe not. So seize that opportunity. You never know if it's going to come or not. We're not even talking about that. But we never know whether it's going to come or not. When a door of righteousness opens and you have that appetite to do something, that is a sign from Allah Azza wa Jal that you are destined and you're supposed to do it. So don't lose that opportunity. So get yourself excited about Ramadan. Maybe this is the Ramadan where Allah is going to answer my dua and save me from hellfire and take me to Jannah and answer my dua about this and answer my dua about that. Maybe this is the Ramadan where I'm going to be blessed for eternity because of. For eternity, forever, because of it. Right? So motivate, inshallah, yourself about Ramadan and educate yourself about the month and why it's important. If you've listened to the rest of the series, number one and number two, and the third lecture as well, you will understand, inshallah, what is so special about Ramadan. But if you've missed them, go back and listen to them, or at least pick a book of hadith. That chapter about Ramadan, chapter about the virtue of Ramadan, if you have Riyadh al-Salihin at home or online, the chapter on the virtues of Ramadan, the virtues of fasting, read that so that you hear the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling the Sahaba and telling you about the benefits of Ramadan. That will, inshallah, motivate you. Yeah, let me do something. Let me deposit something this Ramadan that will help me when I meet Allah Azza wa Jal. Help me in times of need. Okay, after Ramadan, who knows, between this Ramadan and the next, you will need something from Allah Azza wa Jal, and then you will find that your dua this Ramadan is the thing that had helped you. That's a very distinct and possibility, right? Like a motivation, have a plan in Ramadan that keeps you connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. So what is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to do in Ramadan, right? So have a plan. You know, you sit with yourself and you say, inshallah, fasting, that is a given. But I'm going to be praying Qiyam. At a very basic level, we said, even if I lack all motivation, even at a basic level, you pray your sunnah for Isha after Isha. Then you pray two rak'ahs and you pray your witr. Your witr could be one rak'ah or three rak'ahs. That's all. That is Qiyam. But I think, inshallah, that all of us, even the one with the least energy in the Ramadan, can at least do this. With some level of concentration, inshallah. That's the minimum. Can we not do this every single night of Ramadan? That's it. There's more to be done, okay? But at least, right, for those of us who say, I don't have the energy, I say, okay, we can, inshallah, work together, and what we can do the following. What can we do? You pray your Isha, inshallah, on time, wonderful, alhamdulillah. You pray your two sunnahs, alhamdulillah, wonderful. After those two sunnahs, give us two rak'ahs of Qiyam. You want them to be long, make them long. You want them to be medium, medium. You want them to be short, short. That's fine. But two rak'ahs, but just spend some time in sujood asking Allah Azza wa Jal for what you want. After that, you pray your witr, alhamdulillah, khalas, you're done for tonight. Okay? You're done for tonight. Now, there are those, inshallah, just repeat your comment, inshallah. If you lost it, just repeat it, inshallah. There are others who will do more ibadah in Ramadan. Just, you know, plan it. So you can pray all your qiyam after Isha. Or you will say, I don't have a lot of time after Isha. I'd like to sleep early, maybe wake up before Fajr and do it. Plan it like that. So you can divide up the qiyam. You can do some after Isha and then some before Fajr. Do what suits you, what works for you. And you can change it. If you get too tired, you know, or too used to one form of ibadah, you can shift it, inshallah. Right? So I'll answer that, inshallah. Moon sighting, some people sight the moon here, some don't. But there is some moon sighting, inshallah. Yeah, it does take place, yes. So you have a plan for your qiyam, you have a plan for your fasting. But to keep you motivated, what should you do? You need to, and this is, I included that in a sense of being connected, listen to lectures, whether it is something that is happening in Ramadan or a series that you always wanted to listen to, or choose a couple of books in addition to the Quran, a couple of books that you want to read, kind of books that will motivate you, inshallah. Hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a series of hadith, going to soften your heart. You will hear the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gives you a good focus in your Ramadan. It could be biography, wise sayings from the Salaf, whatever it is. But something that is A, light enough, but B, motivational. This is what you want to do, inshallah. Keeps you motivated. Or you can be connected online. And one of the things, inshallah, that we'll do, because this is the last session in this series, obviously, about preparing for Ramadan, we'll have a daily session, inshallah, in Ramadan, 10 minutes every day. Just 10 minutes. So in one day, we will do a story from the Quran. Another day, we'll be doing, inshallah, a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the only thing that we'll be doing is just 10 minutes. Why? Just to keep us connected and motivated. You just join us, inshallah. It will be 6:30 p.m. Toronto time, will be 6:30 a.m. Malaysia time, okay? So just for 10 minutes, just to sit, hear something, it's short enough, but hopefully it gives you a dose, a connection, and you can use that, inshallah, for the rest of the day. And if you need more bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla, there is more available either online or you can, you know, choose a book and read. But keep yourself motivated every day of Ramadan, and we'll talk more inshallah about other types of ibadah that you can put to keep yourself interested inshallah. So we tackled the lack of motivation, and hopefully that have helped. Ramadan in the era of COVID, as we said, we could block motivation because of that. We're doing things alone. So I don't know how many people and in what countries will you be able to go and pray Taraweeh or not. Okay? Or join family in iftar or not. Or so when you're fasting alone, praying alone, it's difficult. Okay? Now remember, inshallah, with difficulty, Allah rewards more, right? So if it's difficult because we're alone, A, Allah rewards you more for this Ramadan than a previous Ramadan where it was easier because you were around people. That's one. Also remember that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, to think about Taraweeh. They did not pray Taraweeh at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the time of Abu Bakr. They did not pray Taraweeh behind one imam in the masjid. They did not do that. They prayed individually, right? Or, you know, two people behind an imam, three people behind an imam. That's it. That's what it was. So they were dispersed and separated. And then they only prayed Taraweeh together at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. But they still fasted. They still prayed. They still enjoyed Ramadan, because Ramadan is not only about going to the masjid, although that is a ni'mah, but it's not only about going to the masjid in Taraweeh, in Jama'ah. What if you don't have any other Muslim around? You're in a city or a country where there are very few Muslims and there is no Muslim around. Will Ramadan diminish because of it? Will the rewards of Ramadan diminish because of it? Or will it challenge you, inshallah, to discover what is the essence of Ramadan? So, subhanAllah, when COVID trimmed down some of the activities of Ramadan and some of the habits that we have joined to Ramadan, it does allow us to discover the essence of Ramadan, where it is between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. Undoubtedly, communal ibadah helps, right? Communal feelings help. But they assist. But if they are not there, Ramadan is still there, and Allah is still there, and your connection to Allah is still there, and it does allow you to discover Ramadan on your own, and the Quran on your own, and khushu' on your own. And you have to look at it not as a setback, inshallah, but as a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal to allow you to discover something unique about Ramadan. Maybe we would not have discovered it without this. Just think about it. That we would not have discovered that aspect of Ramadan where we are alone with Allah and doing it because of Allah Azza wa Jal, not because my neighbor is going to Taraweeh or my neighbor is fasting or my neighbor has invited me or the whole family is in Taraweeh or I'm meeting people in the masjid, I'm praying in my home, Taraweeh or Qiyam, because I want to. No one expects me to, no one sees me, no one is going to ask me whether I prayed or not, or whether I came to the masjid or not. I'm praying it because I want to. And will mean something more because of that. It's not out of habit. It's out of choice. Okay? And when you do it at home, it's really out of choice. So that allows us to discover something about Ramadan. And Ramadan is not about food. Ramadan is not about social visits. Ramadan is not about staying up at night watching TV. Ramadan is none of these things. Ramadan is about something deeper, which is you're fasting and you're getting closer and closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So COVID allows that. So in that sense, right, it becomes a ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jal, because it allows you to see things in a different perspective, inshallah. So make it a journey of rediscovery, not a reason to do less, but a reason, inshallah, to do more or qualitatively more. Like the quality of it will be better. I may not be able, Allahu A'lam. You know, maybe some of us are. Some of us I'm sure are. I may not be able maybe to stand up as long as I would be able to stand up behind the imam in the masjid. Over there in the masjid, I may be able to stand for an hour or more or so. Maybe at home, I may not be able to do so for some of us. But maybe that half hour that I'm praying at home, I'm praying with more concentration, more devotion than an hour I'm praying in the masjid where I'm just simply daydreaming. It's a possibility. So just let this experience, inshallah, push us to discover something deeper about Ramadan. So bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, hopefully the next Ramadan when it comes and we're all going to the masjid, I'm going to the masjid, but I've rediscovered something about Ramadan. And I appreciate it more than if I did not experience any of this. Wallahu a'lam. So look at it as an opportunity, inshallah. Here, you know, inshallah, stressing balance. Balance is important. We said push yourself, okay? I said push out, push yourself. But some of us get so excited that they want to do everything in Ramadan and they burn out. I want to like memorize and I want to read and I want to pray and I want to do this and I want to do this. And they overwhelm themselves. So if you're like that kind of person, you know, be realistic about your expectations of what is possible in Ramadan. So don't go to extremes. The extreme of wanting to do everything and accomplish everything, and the extreme of not having a plan and deciding that, you know, this, I'm just going to skip this Ramadan. I'm just going to simply, you know, ignore this Ramadan. I'm just going to simply fast. But beyond fasting, I'm just not going to do anything. Now, we need to push ourselves, and then we also need not to overwhelm ourselves. Now, what is the limit? Where is the middle path? The middle path will vary based on your ability and my ability. What you've been doing in Ramadan and from last Ramadan till now versus somebody else. So this is a good benchmark if you want to understand what should I aim for? What is my benchmark? How much should I push myself? We say, inshallah, just ask yourself, what did you do last Ramadan? That's one thing. The second thing, what have you been doing from last Ramadan till now? That will give you an indication of what you're able to do in this Ramadan, inshallah. So if last Ramadan, let's give you just an example so that it's not too ambiguous. Last Ramadan, let's say, you've been able to read one juz a day. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that we've been able to, you know, duplicate this after Ramadan. No, but at least in Ramadan, I've been able to, last Ramadan, to read one juz a day. I know that that's within my reach, this Ramadan, right? I can do it physically. I can organize my time. I can do it. So I at least will do one juz a day. Got it, inshallah? At least I'll do one juz a day. I can push myself, maybe, and say, let me try to do one juz and a half. Can I do it? If I find it is too much for me, then I won't. But if I find that it's still within my ability and I'm comfortable with that and I still can read and understand and enjoy the Quran, reading one and a half juz each day, then yeah, let's do that. Maybe in my ibadah last Ramadan, I was able to do a half hour of salah, of qiyam. And I was able, alhamdulillah, to be consistent throughout or most of the month. So maybe this, inshallah, this Ramadan, I say I can do half hour, alhamdulillah, because I've done that. But maybe I can do half hour or 45 minutes. Let's see, can I push myself to do more? So that's what I'm saying about push yourself, but not to the extent where you overwhelm yourself and sacrifice the rights of people around you. So you still are married, or if you have children, or if you have parents you need to take care of, and your body also has rights upon you, and your health has rights upon you. So give everything its right. Give everything its right. But this is the opportunity. This is the month to try to push yourself, not to give in to your own comfort and leisure and say, I just want to relax. I'm not going to push myself. No. And we know from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would push himself in Ramadan more so. So it says about the last 10 days and nights of Ramadan, it says وَشَدَّ الْمِئْزَةِ, when they describe it, كَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ الْأَوَاخِرِ أَحْيَ لَيْلَهُ وَشَدَّ الْمِئْزَةِ, as it says about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't liven his night with ibadah. وَشَدَّ الْمِئْزَةِ, he will tighten the mi'zar, the izar, okay, the sarong, that lower garment that covers the lower part of the body. What does it mean? They say it's symbolic of one being serious. Like when you tighten the knot, because when you wrap it and you tighten it, when you tighten it, that means that you're ready to do work. So shadda al-mizan means he got ready for it. So he pushes himself. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we push ourselves. So we try to, right? Again, not to so that you would overwhelm yourself and resent ibadah and become so tired and you're not in the mood and you're just doing it begrudgingly, not saying that you should do this. When you get too tired, too sleepy, when you just, you're not feeling it anymore, relax. Give yourself a break. Pace yourself. Think about the importance of what desiring that ibadah. Focus when you're doing that ibadah, loving that ibadah. Not I'm going to doing it, you know, even if I hate it. Now give yourself, relax a little bit, inshallah. You're tired, go and sleep. You're tired, go and do something else. You're tired with one form of ibadah, move to another form of ibadah. But keep yourself interested. So I'm reading the Quran. I read it now for half an hour. I'm for an hour. Okay, I got tired. I feel like doing something else. Move on to a book, inshallah. Or move on to do something, some other type of ibadah that you have. Or maybe salah. Or assisting in the house with the proper intention. Going online, looking for a lecture, listening to a speaker that you like. Something that keeps you motivated and interested. So vary those ibadahs. Don't get stuck. You don't need to get stuck. Vary this ibadah and find the thing that speaks to your heart, inshallah, that keeps you interested, that keeps you connected to Allah, that softens your heart. So the issue there is not, I'm just going to pray for 2 hours, no matter how terrible I feel about it. No, Allah does not want that from you. He wants your heart in that ibadah. So if you don't find your heart in it, do some, then move on to do something else. If you're reading the Quran but you're not feeling it, maybe read the tafsir, the translation of what you read. Maybe that will inspire you to keep reading. Who knows, right? And then make dua. Ya Allah, this is difficult for me. Ya Allah, I'm finding it hard. Allow me, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, you know, to overcome this, to find the sweetness of ibadah, and keep making this dua. Allah Azza wa Jal could indeed open the door of the sweetness of that ibadah, and you can start enjoying it, right? So, so we talked about that part, alhamdulillah. A simple advice, inshallah, that seems common sense, don't overeat. That's something, inshallah, that should be, hopefully, I don't know, I hope it's easy enough to follow. You know, we've developed this habit in Ramadan where we invest so much of our time into cooking and developing meals and inviting others and all of that until, you know, we have special cuisine only for Ramadan, special drinks only for Ramadan, special meals and appetizers that we only eat in Ramadan, and they become so associated with Ramadan, we almost feel that it's not Ramadan unless we have these things. And obviously, this is an addition. It's our own addition to it. Ramadan was never about these things, right? Now, Ramadan was not about sugary drinks or fried food. Ramadan is not about this. So we as Muslims, right, we've developed this, you know, for at least a thousand years or so, where we've turned Ramadan from a month about staying away from food to a month that is about food. So I know that when I'm saying don't overeat, I know that this is one of the things that habits that some of us have, that we overeat in Ramadan, okay? Now, what are the problems with overeating in Ramadan? And, in addition to all the health harms that come with overeating in Ramadan, you know, when you shock your system with all of that food. But in addition to it, right, when you eat so much, you become lazy and tired and you lack motivation. Your body is just heavy. So it's hard for you to pray. You're talking about, you know, if you're in iftar, when you eat so much, Isha is hard and Qiyam is hard and you're going to oversleep. And if you wake up for your suhoor and you also overeat, and you don't have anything to do, then you'll go back to sleep again and you'll waste a lot of the day. So eating less, in addition to its health benefits, has spiritual religious benefits as well. As at the same time, don't starve yourself. Don't make yourself sick, but also don't overeat. And one of useful advice, you know, one of the scholars who had written about this, he had said, just consider what you eat on your regular day. Like your regular dinner, what is it that you eat every single night? Don't eat more than that in your iftar. In fact, you should, or maybe you'll eat less. But at least if we want to correct our behavior and not to be too drastic about it, so that this could be a lasting change, so just consider, what do you eat every night? What is your dinner? He says, I eat this dish. this much food, this much rice, this much this, this much chicken. It says that's your iftar. You don't eat more than that. Okay? So you don't compensate for the fact that you did not eat your breakfast and the lunch by combining all of that into one meal and then eating it, massive meal. That is not good for you on both levels, health-wise and spiritual-wise. So not overeating. It's a simple, advice, alhamdulillah, but it will have its consequences. We said, inshallah, keep yourself reminded every day to be motivated. So maybe, inshallah, if you're living in a Muslim country or you have access to a Muslim bookstore, visit that Muslim bookstore before Ramadan. And just browse through the titles that you have. If not, subhanAllah, if you're living in a non-Muslim country and you don't have access to a Muslim bookstore, maybe you would have to do this online or do it with online lectures. But let's say that you have a Muslim bookstore. Go and browse the titles and consider what can I buy for this month for myself and maybe even for my family, where I would read this one or two pages a day, 5 pages each day, 10 pages, nothing too major. Not a major commitment and not heavy reading. But this thing will motivate me, will inspire me, will push me. And if I share this with my family, inshallah, after Fajr, after Asr, between Maghrib and Isha, kind of like the summary, the lessons, that will motivate them as well, will teach them something as well. So what title do I have? So as I said, a book of hadith is very easy to read, like Riyadh al-Salihin, okay? Where you will be reading about honesty, generosity, sadaqah, this and that. That could inspire you. And it will remind you, oh, sadaqah. Oh, I could do this in Ramadan, you'll do it. Birr al-Walidain or Silat al-Rahim. Oh, I can do this in Ramadan, then you'll do it. So subhanAllah, you're reading, you're learning, and you're applying. Or it could be a biography. It could be a biography of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You could do if you have the stomach and you can read that, alhamdulillah. Could be one of the major scholars of Islam, Sahabi, Tabi'i, or one of the major scholars of Islam, or wise sayings of the Salaf if such a book is available in English or your local language. But reading something that really reconnects you and brings you back to Allah Azza wa Jal, motivates you in Ramadan, and you'll say, oh yeah, this is now I'm inspired. Now I'm rejuvenated. Now I have the energy, inshallah, different perspective, different energy. Yeah, I can go. I can do something different this day. So subhanAllah, if you seek it, you'll find it. As I said, and if you're living in a non-Muslim country, maybe you have a Muslim bookstore. If you don't, you go online and you find such a book or lectures, series of lectures, inshallah. You watch something a little bit every day, a scholar that you like, a speaker that you like, but who inspires you, who says something meaningful, okay? To slim, to get thin as part of your fasting goals, yeah, inshallah. Losing weight, as long as it's not the major goal, right? The major goal is pleasing Allah, but in addition, you want to have other secondary goals as far as I want to lose weight, I want to be healthy, I want to be more organized. These are secondary goals, and all of them, inshallah, are reasonable, valid goals. So you can, losing weight could be a goal of fasting, inshallah. Absolutely, why not? But as again, inshallah, it's not the major goal. The major goal is pleasing Allah. And then these things, inshallah, could come as byproducts of the fast. It will come, inshallah. But you can have them as a goal, inshallah. So something, as we said, listen to something that will keep you motivated and inspired. And the more that you feel down, the more that you need that. So just a little bit of research before Ramadan. Just go to your library, go to your bookstore, and just pick home library or bookstore, Muslim bookstore. Select these books. Hopefully, inshallah, that will keep you motivated. And as I said again, as a reminder, inshallah, we'll try to do our best on our behalf here. Every day, inshallah, we'll just try to meet with you for 10 minutes and just share hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or a story from the Quran and the lessons from it. So hopefully we can hear something and we say, yeah, here's something for today. Here's something that I can apply. Here is something that I can follow. Here's something that maybe, inshallah, can inspire me. And maybe my day will be better because of it. I hope so, inshallah. Last two things, inshallah, that I wanted to say. Overall, develop a plan for yourself, inshallah. With everything that we said, develop a plan for yourself. So think about the end of Ramadan. And you know, it's too early to think about the end of Ramadan right now, but once it starts, it's going to keep going and then it will end before we know it, subhanAllah. So, okay, now the end of Ramadan is approaching, or now Ramadan has ended. What would you want to have achieved when you exit Ramadan? What is it that you want from Ramadan before it leaves? Now you think about Ramadan is over now, it's going to be over. What do you think that you want to achieve before Eid is tomorrow? Okay, that would be, inshallah, your major plans in Ramadan. Okay, I want to be forgiven. I want to overcome this bad habit. I want to control my anger. I want to please Allah Azza wa Jal. I want my heart to be better, to feel better. I want to be closer to Allah. I want my dua to be accepted. All these things are your plans. And in addition to the other secondary things that we talked about, I want to lose weight, I want this, I want that. Anyway, so this is my plan. So if I identify my major plans in Ramadan, okay, so by the end of first week or week one, what would I have accomplished? So in order to be able to achieve this by the end of this month. If I want to finish a book, then how much should I have read? If I want to finish the Quran at least once, how much should I have read in 1 week? If I wanted to finish the Quran twice, if I wanted to finish the Quran with the translation once, how much should I have read in 1 week? If I wanted to deposit as many good deeds in Ramadan, what should I go in? What is my plan for the first week? Okay, how many good things can I do in the first week? So this is the plan that we are talking about, right? And varying acts of obedience, okay? Right? Varying acts of obedience helps, inshallah, just to keep you interested, just to keep you motivated. So let's say, for instance, you know, one day you plan on helping people, right? Whether it is by picking up the phone and asking how they're doing, connecting with them in Ramadan, seeing if they need anything from you, right? That's one thing that you can do. Or connecting with family, that's silatul rahim. That's another act of ibadah that you can do. Or sadaqah, giving sadaqah in Ramadan, that you can plan. You can plan, inshallah, to give sadaqah every single day, whether you are going to the masjid or you're sending this sadaqah electronically or distributing the sadaqah locally, but start giving something every single day. That's an act. Or going online or going on social media, finding nice lectures, good reminders, and sharing that with your circle, with those people who would welcome this, right? You know, not bombarding people, you know, with unwanted, unsolicited messages, but sharing it, right, with people. And you know that they appreciate it or they want to hear from you. That's another act of ibadah. Just thinking about what other acts of ibadah that you can do and asking Allah for them. And the more that you vary that, the more that you'll be motivated, because every act is different and every act is interesting. And you may find opportunities to help people locally, subhanAllah. Or maybe if you have access to go to the masjid, when you go to the masjid, you'll find other opportunities to help people. Smiling in people's faces, leaving the house, maybe you're going and buying food. And everybody is on edge because of, you know, social distancing and anxiety about infections and what have you. But extra acts of kindness committed or given to Muslims and non-Muslims, assisting them, forgiving others, right? Letting somebody ahead of you or stand ahead of you in line. Just being gracious in Ramadan, that's an act of ibadah. So just finding ways where you can please Allah Azza wa Jal in very different ways, in different areas, with different people, keeps you interested and motivated and makes your fasting really meaningful, because you see that I'm fasting and it's affecting a lot of people around me positively, alhamdulillah, and I'm doing it not so that they admire me or say, I'm a good person, I'm a kind person. It's because this is pleasing to Allah. Allah loves it. So I'm going to do it because Allah Azza wa Jal loves it, inshallah. So I said, reading books, donating food, assisting people, sharing advice and reminders. Sometimes, inshallah, just as far as the balance that we're talking about, and that could be part of your plan, you feel the need maybe to take some relaxing walks right after Fajr or before Maghrib,
just to clear your head, just to exercise, just move your body. If you're such a person, do it. Why not? There's nothing wrong with it. With the proper intention, this becomes a ibadah, right? You may treat yourself and family at certain junctures for achievements in Ramadan. So you can say to yourself, and that is also valid. You can say to yourself, inshallah, I'm going to try to do my best throughout this week. And once, inshallah, I'm successful bi-idhnillah, by the end of the week on Saturday or Sunday or on Monday, whenever, I'm going to treat myself and I'm going to treat my family. If we all reach our goal, inshallah, we're going to go and buy this food and buy this and buy that. Make it fun and make it interesting, inshallah, so that you also, your kids feel that, hey, we've done something, we've achieved it, and Ramadan is a thing of beauty, where we are actually striving, we're doing something pleasing to Allah, but it's also linked, alhamdulillah, to an enjoyable, fun activity, and you reward them, and you reward yourself as well. And that could motivate you, right? That could motivate you. So why not? So just understand yourself and understand what motivates you, understand what inspires you, and try to find it, and try, inshallah, to always do it with the proper intention of, I'm going to eat this, and even eating becomes ibadah. I'm going to eat this, and I enjoy eating it, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, and it's going to give me an energy for salah. And I'm going to praise Allah for it. Praise Him for the food, and praise Him for the salah. And you feel just better about yourself, because alhamdulillah, you're always connected to Allah, no matter what you're doing. Eating, you praise Him. Praying, you praise Him. You sleep and you praise Him. You wake up and you praise Him, alhamdulillah. So all of your day is ibadah. And when you are down, recognize it. Yes, it's normal. It's natural. Some days of Ramadan, you'll be down. Some days of Ramadan, you are going to be weak. It's not news, right? This is not news for any one of us. So don't be discouraged and disheartened by it. Oh, subhanAllah, I'm terrible. I am this. I'm wasted my time in Ramadan. No, it's absolutely natural. Every single person will feel down, and they will feel that their iman has dipped in one or two or more days of Ramadan. And some of those nights, you may not be energized. You may not have that desire to do a lot. These are the nights where it's important to at least push yourself to do the minimum. You're completely not in the mood to pray completely. Okay, pray your Isha, as we said. Pray your Sunnah. Pray the minimum of Qiyam, and you're done. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jal will give you energy to pray tomorrow. That's fine, inshallah. But you did Qiyam for today. Now for the rest of the night, maybe do some dhikr of Allah. Not do some Quran. Not read a good book. Not even that. Just go take a walk, inshallah. Just go take a walk. And then just change scenery and change, your routine. And maybe that will inspire you. That's fine, inshallah. Just recognize that if there is difficulty, it will be followed with ease, inshallah, right? It will be followed with ease. So don't give up. And don't be so hard on yourself and say, I wasted this and I wasted that. That's sin. And you give up on the rest of that. You give up on the rest of Ramadan. The rest of Ramadan is available, alhamdulillah. So just vary the acts of worship and keep yourself interested. Last thing, alhamdulillah, is... let's also fast not only because it's an obligation, meaning I have to do it. Let's also fast out of gratitude, out of shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani Allah, you gave us all this food that we enjoy in Ramadan and throughout the year. And now you ask us to stay away from it just to thank you for it because you love this. I'm going to stay away from this food. All right? I'm not going to drink just to thank you. And because you love this ibadah, and because I want to love you, and I want you to love me, Ya Allah, I will also fast so that I could love you and for you to love me. Because when you fast, Allah loves you. Allah loves the smell that comes out of your mouth, and Allah loves you more than that smell. So when you fast, Allah loves you. So you say, I want to be loved by Allah. And I want to love Allah Azza wa Jal, and ibadah brings you closer to the love of Allah. So we can also fast out of love. Yani we said this is a distinct ibadah, as we said in the first lecture, this is a distinct ibadah that belongs to Allah exclusively. So you say Allah loves it so much, I want to give this to Allah Azza wa Jal. Not that Allah needs it, God forbid, but Allah loves it, so I want to do this for His sake, for Him. So it's an ibadah that Allah loves, and I want to do it out of love. So do you your fast out of love and feel the love of Allah as you're doing it. Allah loves me as I'm doing it. And you're being loved as you are being thirsty. And as you're being hungry. And as you're struggling with it, you're being loved. And that is a beautiful feeling, right? And the more that you do it, inshallah, the more that you will enjoy it. I hope, I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for that to be the case. So, alhamdulillah, that's what I wanted to say, inshallah, for today. So, before I answer the questions again, and I know I've repeated this twice, the last time, inshallah. So, this is the last lecture, inshallah, in this series. Throughout the month of Ramadan, inshallah, we'll be meeting with you, inshallah, on the same platforms, on the three platforms. So, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, if Allah helps us. 10 minutes each day. So one day we will do a story from the Quran, summarize a story and the benefits from it. 10 minutes, not more, inshallah. The other day, the next day, we'll be doing one hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll read the hadith, we'll say, this is what the hadith is, and these are the benefits from it. This is what the hadith is, and these are the benefits. So we'll do around, inshallah. So because we will alternate, so we'll be doing, inshallah, in total about 15 stories or 14 stories. From the Quran, and then about 14 or 15 hadiths from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Will be at 6:30 inshallah every single day, 6:30 p.m. our time, local time, 6:30 if you are in Malaysia, inshallah, 6:30 a.m. Malaysia time, inshallah. So inshallah, we have maybe just we don't have a lot of questions. I have one question that I received over Facebook previously about waswasa. I don't know if the one who had asked it is watching. I hope so. If not, maybe he can watch it later. So I'll answer these questions and I'll come, inshallah, to that question, inshallah. I would like to know if I cannot officially declare masjid as a masjid because of so many obligations here. Am I sinful if I do this? Okay. So I don't get what this question is asking. I would like to know if I cannot officially declare masjid as a masjid because of so many obligations here. Am I sinful if I do this? I don't understand what that question is saying. Do you mean that I cannot go to the masjid because of so many obligations that I have? Is that what it means? So if you can, inshallah, just clarify your question, inshallah. So does it mean that you cannot go to the masjid because of so many obligations? So let me, inshallah, know if that's what you meant by it. Walaikum as-salam. How to arrange the plan? Read Al-Quran after salah to achieve burjuz during working hours, or new suggestions for this mission. So how do you organize it, inshallah? Of course, it all depends on your schedule. So, obviously, when you're working, you're not going to have a lot of time to be able to do these things. But I'm hoping, inshallah, at the same time, so I'm assuming maybe, let's say that you're living in a Muslim country, that you have reduced hours of work, I hope, inshallah. But you can spread out the ibadah, so the Quran. I don't know if you will at work you'll have time after Dhuhr and after Asr. I don't know when you get home. But maybe you'll have some time after Fajr. So you'll read some pages of the Quran. Let's say, for instance, you read, so a juz is about 20 pages from Mus'haf al-Madina, the common Mus'haf, it's about 20 pages. So if you read about 4 pages after each salah, you're going to get, inshallah, a juz a day, 4 pages, right? So 4 after Fajr, 4 after Dhuhr, 4 after Asr, 4 after Maghrib, 4 after Isha. Declared a prayer room as a masjid. Okay, inshallah. Okay. So I'm assuming, inshallah, we're talking about females, right? So we're talking about declare the prayer room as a masjid. And we're talking about females, not males. Just clarify that. I can answer it either way, inshallah. So if you're reading 4 pages, inshallah, after each salah, you're going to get a juz a day. Right? And you'll be able to do more on the weekend, right? And you'll be able maybe to do more, inshallah, once you come back home and you finish cooking, finish eating. So you have some time between Isha until you go to bed or when you wake up before Fajr. So you can do more. So just plan it according to your schedule. If you can sneak some moments, inshallah, throughout the day where in addition to reading the Quran, you're doing some dhikr. So as you're walking and coming back, right, as you're doing something that does not require that does not require a lot of attention, right? Something that is routine. You can repeat the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. You can make dua as you're walking and coming. You can assist people. You can help. You can smile on their faces. You can make dua for so-and-so when you see them. Dua for the dead when you remember them. All of these things can be done. And it's all ibadah, bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jal. So find different opportunities to make this ibadah and fill your day. Fill your day with ibadah. When you go, you know, make sure, inshallah, you pray your duha, salah, if it's available. I mean, if you have the time for it while working. When you begin something, say bismillah. Just keep the name of Allah and keep His remembrance with you no matter what you're doing throughout the day. When you enter your vehicle and you want to drive, say the dua for mounting an animal or, you know, driving a vehicle. Say that dua, learn that dua, write it down, stick it in your car until you memorized it. Now you've learned a new dua, now you've learned a new dhikr, it will stay with you, inshallah. When you enter your home, remember Allah's name. So all of these things, keep adding them, right? Keep adding them. If I don't have opportunities, you know, to finish the Quran, the whole Quran, I can finish some parts, but as I said, I can do other types of ibadah as well. So alhamdulillah, if we don't have this, we have so many other things, inshallah, that we can do. Just, you know, figure out what your schedule is and what are the small things that you can infuse and spread throughout your day if you're working, so that, inshallah, you can maximize, as we said, your time in Ramadan, inshallah. There is this financial question, inshallah. I'll come back to it, inshallah, later, inshallah. Because that requires contemplation. Because I don't have it on the top of my head to... all the information about paying zakah for this or paying zakah for that, it's just not here, inshallah. So I have to think about it, inshallah. So going back, inshallah, to this question and then the question about waswasa. So you want to officially declare a masjid as a masjid because of so many obligations. So you want to have a masjid at home. Okay, masjid at home. Now, so first of all, let's say it is actually sunnah to dedicate a place in your house as a masjid. It's called Musall al-Bayt or Masjid al-Bayt. It is actually sunnah. This is the place where you pray all the time. It could be a room, could be a corner, could be part of a room, whatever it is, inshallah. But a spot where you pray all the time, that could be Musall al-Bayt or the Masjid of the Bayt. So it's actually legitimate to do this. Now, if you're female, absolutely, praying there is the best. If you're female, praying there is the best. It's better than praying in the masjid. Now, if you're male, right? And I mean, I'm going to exclude our current circumstances. I'm just speaking in general, not with lockdown and all of this. If you're male, praying in the masjid is better. We're talking about the obligations. Praying in the masjid is better. And if you can hear the adhan, yani you're from a distance, right? Where the masjid is so close, you can hear the adhan not from speakers, but from just a loud calling of the adhan, just normal human being's voice. And if they just call the adhan without the aid of anything technical, with any speakers, but if they just call the adhan and you could hear him, some scholars have said it's an obligation on you to go to the masjid. But nevertheless, let's just say that whenever you have the opportunity, inshallah, as a Muslim, living especially in a Muslim country, where that typically is where the masjid is that close to you, non-Muslim countries, you usually don't get that, then you should, inshallah, head to the masjid. It is better. It is better. Now, under the common COVID circumstances, you really want to consult your local scholars and, you know, just consider locally whether it is safe to go or not. Whether it is easy to go or not. So that's gonna vary based on location and your health condition and the recommendations of officials and also, you know, the religious scholars in your area. So that is something that you need to consult locally, inshallah. But if you You're talking about a masjid inside the house? Yeah, for a female, inshallah, that's the best place to have. For a male, that is the best place to pray sunnah. The obligations, try, inshallah, to do your best to pray in the masjid, you know, Fajr, Asr, Maghrib. If you cannot, and at least pray at home. If you cannot, then at least pray at home. Wallahu a'lam. Either because, as you said, there are too many obligations and these are legitimate obligations. It's the masjid is too far, you don't have transportation, something like that. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows what it is, right? The last question, inshallah, I'll answer, inshallah. The financial question, inshallah, I'll come back to it. Not today, inshallah. There's a question about waswasa from a brother. A government obligations. Now, of course, right? If there are like restrictions on you where you cannot go to the masjid, obviously, then you pray at home, whether male or female. Or you have serious obligations where you cannot leave, then obviously, you cannot leave to the masjid, you pray at home, inshallah. There's no sin with that, inshallah. Okay. What is the ruling on decorating homes for Ramadan, like putting a crescent tree? Okay, so you can decorate the home for Ramadan, inshallah. There's nothing wrong with it. I would not recommend putting a crescent tree because it does look like a Christmas tree or a Christmas wreath. So it looks like a kind of a Muslim bad imitation of what the non-Muslims do with their holidays. So if you want to recommend, if you want to decorate for Ramadan, decorate for Ramadan. That's fine, inshallah. You can decorate for Ramadan. But let us not copy what the non-Muslims do in their celebrations. And they just, you know, we can't like bring a Christmas tree and we call it Ramadan tree. And changing the names doesn't really change the reality of what we're doing. Like a Christmas tree, we put lights around it and we say, yeah, what they're doing it in Christmas, we're just going to do it in Ramadan and Eid, and we're just going to call it Eid tree or Ramadan tree. So if we just, you know, change the shape and it becomes a crescent tree from the same maybe tree even that they use for Christmas or for celebrating Christmas, or, you know, the wreath that they have that they just hang, and it has usually it's just associated with Christmas. If we just cut it and we make it into a crescent, it doesn't change reality, wallahu alam. So don't copy. So if you want to do it Islamically. Decorate reasonably, inshallah, things that, you know, are related to Ramadan, but just let not copy what they're doing and just let call it something Islamic. So there's nothing wrong, inshallah, with decorating for Ramadan. But as I said, do not imitate the non-Muslim celebrations, because that simply becomes a bridge for us to think like them, to act like them, and to start celebrating their festivals, because they just look like ours. Like if our Eid looks exactly like Christmas, your kids are not going to see the difference between Eid and Christmas. So they'll think Eid and Christmas are the same. We're all the same. And if they think that they're the same, then they'll think we're the same in belief as well. So it doesn't matter whether you believe in Allah or not, whether you believe Allah is one or three or five or ten. It's because all these religions start looking the same because they're being celebrated the same. So they have to be distinct. So decorate for Ramadan in ways that are distinct from other festivals, especially religious festivals, but other festivals in general. Because festivals in particular are one of the most distinct practices that keep people and faith and practice pure. Because there's a signal that we are together, we're different, this is our ibadah, and this is why we're different. So anyway, inshallah, decorate, as I said, decorate for Ramadan, but distinctly from other festivals and other people, inshallah, so that it remains distinctly Islamic. The question about waswasa, inshallah, somebody was asking that they are having this waswas. And this waswas is about Allah Azza wa Jal and about the Quran, authenticity of this and authenticity. And they're saying, I'm really struggling with this and it's affecting me. And I'm just, the person is about to collapse, he says. And subhanAllah, first of all, we have to understand that this waswasa or these bad thoughts, the source is from the shaitan. The source is from the shaitan. You have to recognize when you are being hounded and with these type of bad thoughts that come that want you to doubt the existence of Allah or the authenticity of the Quran or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the foundations of faith, that this is not coming from you. This is coming from the shaitan, especially as it keeps attacking you and attacking you and attacking you, and it's making you weak and miserable and sad. The shaitan sees all of this and is happy because of it, and he keeps attacking you because he wants to keep making you weak. So the first thing to realize is this is coming from the shaitan. This is not you. So what should you do when you realize something is coming from the shaitan? What do we do? A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim immediately. So you keep asking Allah for protection from the shaitan every time, repeatedly, until Allah conquers the shaitan. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Ya Allah, you know the shaitan is attacking me right now. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Say it from a heart that is really, that desires Allah's protection. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. Ya Allah, protect me from the shaitan. Ya Allah, defeat him. Ya Allah, take him away. Ya Allah, establish iman in my heart. Ya Allah, I believe in you. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. So say these things. آمنت بالله. I believe in Allah alone, and I disbelieve in the shaitan, in a sense, in the whispers of the shaitan. And say these things. The shaitan will see your determination and will run away when you seek Allah's assistance. You are weak and I am weak when we try to fight the shaitan alone. You bring Allah in it and the shaitan runs away. Can't withstand the fact, just the mention of Allah's name. Cannot. So you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Read Ayatul Kursi. Read Surah Al-Baqarah. This is the opportunity for you to really defeat the shaitan. If the shaitan has mounted such an attack against you, you have to defend yourself and mount a counterattack. And that counterattack, especially in the month of Ramadan, it could be that I need to read Surah Al-Baqarah repeatedly to cleanse my soul and my body and my home of the shaitan. So you keep reading Surah Al-Baqarah to defeat the shaitan. And if you have given the shaitan power over you through some particular sins that you and I are doing, you stop that. As the shaitan becomes stronger and we weaker when there's a particular sin. So inspect your life. I'm doing this wrong thing and this wrong thing. Stop this, stop that. There are obligations I'm neglecting. Do them to weaken the shaitan and make yourself strong. Because this is a fight. And it's really a fight for survival. It's not an exaggeration. You know, the shaitan can try, subhanAllah, to attack you so much that it can destroy your life. Right? With these whispers. So you have to realize that he's an enemy of yours. So take him as an enemy and defeat him. So don't listen to him. So a counterattack. So say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Know that these thoughts are from the shaitan. Quit thinking about them. Just ignore them. Forget it. Don't take them seriously. See that they're frivolous, based on nothing. If you have serious doubts, go and consult a sheikh or an imam. Ask, I have issues with this. Can you answer these questions of mine? Because the shaitan keeps revisiting me, trying, you know, to destabilize my faith. So tell me, how can I answer this question and that question? Inshallah, you'll find answers. But if all only thing that you have are just thoughts and suspicions and doubts that are baseless, this is from the shaitan. Ignore them. Stop. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. And then occupy yourself with something that is useful. Do something that is useful. Don't think about these things. Don't be alone. Don't be alone. Be around other people, inshallah. I know it's difficult a bit, but surround yourself with the remembrance of Allah. If not, play the Quran, play a lecture. Okay? Strengthen your iman, inshallah. And as I said, if you have questions about things that are really troubling you Islamically, you don't understand what they are, why they are, ask. I think, inshallah, if you ask Allah to protect you from the shaitan, if you ask Allah repeatedly to assist you against these whispers, against that anxiety, against that even depression, if what you're feeling is depression, if we are sick and we keep on crying, is that a sign the shaitan is influencing us? Okay, inshallah, I'll answer that. So if you're sick and you keep crying, if you are sick, like physically sick, and you are crying, is that what you mean by sick? Okay. So if you keep asking Allah to assist you with that anxiety and even depression that you are feeling, and especially the month of Ramadan is coming, you can make it, you know, one of the missions of Ramadan. If you keep asking Allah for it from your heart, and you just do these things, then inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal will assist you with it. And you don't need to suffer under that waswasa. You don't need to suffer under that waswasa. Okay? So I hope that had helped. And if the person that asked the question listens to this, inshallah, and there's still, they have still some issues, inshallah, just write to me, inshallah. Somebody just asked, if you are sick and you keep crying, is that terminal illness? Okay, inshallah. So if someone is terminally ill and they keep on crying, does that mean that the shaitan is influencing you? It could mean that, yes, the shaitan is trying to sadden you. Okay, there's another question here. In our building, we like to dedicate a place for prayer, but because of lots of regulations, and then it cuts off. So if you can put this, inshallah, on YouTube, that would be great, inshallah. So if someone is terminally ill, and may Allah Azza wa Jal give everybody shifa and patience, if someone is terminally ill, it's difficult, and I don't know if I can say enough or I can be adequate in addressing this in a minute or two. It's not an easy thing when you discover that this is it. It's also, it doesn't mean that that's the end of all hope. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla can change anything. That's one. It's always a possibility. The other thing is that there might be great benefit in it, even if someone is terminally ill. Great benefit in it where Allah Azza wa Jalla takes away so much of your sins and had given you the opportunity to repent, review your life, make up for the bad things that may have been done, and compensate for missed opportunities. A lot of people die suddenly and they don't have that. Right? So if you keep your eyes focused on the fact that I'm not only going to die, I'm going to transition. I'm going to pass on. That's really a beautiful word to think about, passing on. I'm not ending. It's only one phase in life. You know how you've been living in a country and then you pack up all your belongings and you move and migrate to another country, travel? That's exactly it. So even if you are terminally ill, and I know, and I'm not going to underestimate the gravity of that news, or you think this is it, that's it, I'm saying goodbye to everything I know. But your life is not going to end. Your life simply is going to transition from one to the other. So submit to Allah's decision and the fact that this is what Allah wants. And if ultimately this is what Allah wants, it's the best for you and for me. Surrender to it. No need to cry. There will be days where it will be difficult, but no need to cry, inshallah. No need to cry. Because it is not going to change anything unless, you know, you just need to kind of release. Right? That's one thing. But no need to cry, meaning that there is something positive in it, bi'idhnillah. Just the fact that you could sit for a day or two and just kind of repent from everything and forgive everybody. And ask Allah from your heart to accept you and to assist you and to put you in Jannah and protect you from hellfire. Just that opportunity is a ni'mah that, believe me, a lot of people do not have, but now you have. So why are you crying when Allah had given you this? So rather than waste these moments, these really precious moments that you have, feeling sorry for yourself, invest them. Because there will come a time where if you don't invest it, you may look back and say, I was so foolish. I had time in this dunya. I could have done this and this. I just was feeling sorry for myself. All of us are going to die. All of us are going to lose our health. All of us are going to be in the grave, under earth. All of us are going to go through this. So don't waste this opportunity. Okay? Don't waste this opportunity. Yes, if the only thing that you're doing is feeling sorry for yourself and crying and blaming and questioning why it has happened, then yes, you are surrendering to the influence of the shaitan who is weakening you and weakening your iman. But if you say no, bi-idhnillah, with Allah's help, I'm stronger. This Allah decided this. Allah chose this for me. And Allah wants the best for me all the time. For in the remaining days and months and years that I could have, Allah only knows how many you have. Do something that will help you. That is the thing that will make you gladdest when you are about to die. When you will be smiling, when you see the angels of Allah Azza wa Jalla descending, and you say, yes, I want to leave. I want to leave. And when you meet Allah Azza wa Jalla, you say, Alhamdulillah, I don't want to go back. What was I crying over, wanting to stay in this dunya? So, Alhamdulillah, you know, I mean, I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give you patience and insight and wisdom and iman, and keep increasing your iman so that you can see all of this and realize Allah's gifts and just take advantage of the time that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make it so. So we cannot declare it as a mosque. People are saying because we are hiding this information, we will be sinful. Are we sinful? So the question here, inshallah, somebody did post it to YouTube. So what I understand from your question is that, khair inshallah. Oh, this is not moving. See, I have trouble with this. Okay. Let me see here. So it says in our building we like to dedicate a place for prayer, but because of lots of regulations, we cannot declare it as a mosque. People are saying because we are hiding this information, we will be sinful. Are we sinful? If we're not, if the government does not allow you, inshallah, to congregate like that, then you're not supposed to congregate. Right? Because you can actually end up harming yourself and people in the building. Just as strictly follow government's regulations. I'm not saying this because I'm online, somebody can see me. Even if you just ask me this personally, inshallah. If the government is telling you, right, this is not helpful, right? And you can end up actually infecting other people when you congregate like that in salah. Now, I know that, you know, where we're living, you know, they do have, with social distancing, they have a limit on the number of people who can congregate for ibadah. So if you can do that within government regulations, following government regulations, where you're not harming yourself or introducing harm to other people, alhamdulillah, then you do this. If not, if it's violating the government regulations, we say don't do that. Pray at home. Pray at home, right? And it could be sinful. It could be sinful just because of the harm that it can lead to. Okay? So inshallah, I want you to keep that in mind, inshallah. If there's no harm, that's something else. But because there's actually potential harm that we can bring in, a lot of people who may come and pray, they may not be aware of their own sickness or be very transparent about how sick they are. Some of them could be older, non-vaccinated. So if that happens, you know, they could infect a lot of other people. So I'm saying, inshallah, because yes, it could be sinful. And you realize, subhanAllah, even in the haram in Mecca and in haram in Medina, there are specific, actually, strict regulations about who can come and pray in the haram. And they have to be vaccinated and they have to show proof and all of this. So it would be the same over there. You have to follow government regulations when you're in Mecca and Medina, not to harm people, and you'd have to do it here because regardless of whether it is Muslim or non-Muslims, right? So it's not for COVID, not just for regular time? Okay. Just not for COVID, not for regular time, and it's government regulations. I'd have to understand what these government regulations are. right? So is it say a safety issue or something else? I'd have to understand what these government regulations are. If they are meaningless, if they're meaningless, like there's no harm, absolutely no harm. You're absolutely sure that there is no harm. But is this meaningless regulation? Meaningless regulation, red tape, bureaucracy, right? And there's absolutely no harm. There's no harm. There's no sin in it. Okay? Inshallah, so planning ahead. So if there's no harm in it, it's just red tape, just, you know, as you said, just bureaucracy that imposes laws and it just, they don't make sense. And there's absolutely no harm. You're not harassing anybody while doing it. It's not sinful to congregate, inshallah. As we said, you're not trespassing, you're not hurting anybody while doing it. But if there is harm, and that's the thing that you would have to verify, if there is harm, then you would have to avoid that, inshallah, right? And there was another one here that I've noticed, and I apologize for Facebook. I started to learn Sunnah and follow Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ, but some people told me that we cannot, and it cuts off. So I'll see if I'll be able to see it on YouTube, inshallah. I'll watch it. I'll try to answer that question, inshallah. Anyway, inshallah. So I'm probably going to wrap up. You got your answer? Okay, inshallah. So inshallah. So bi'idhnillah, as I just think I'm going to wrap up because I don't think I can read that question until unless I receive it before I just finish this session. So ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arhamar Rahimeen, inshallah, guide us in this Ramadan, just to ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to plant the seeds of sincerity and devotion and enthusiasm for Ramadan in us. And I ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to make this Ramadan, this coming Ramadan, better than all the previous Ramadans that we have had. And the Ramadan, if we were to live to reach the Ramadan that comes after that, to make the Ramadan that is after that even better than this Ramadan. And so progressively, each Ramadan, as we get closer to Allah, be better than the one that is before it. We ask Rabbil Alameen, Ya Allah, make us excited for the coming of the month of Ramadan. Make us of those who take advantage of it, those who are accepted in it, those who are forgiven in it. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to make us of those who make dua and pray and ask you for what benefits them in the hereafter and in the dunya. We ask you to make us of those who fast imanan wa ihtisaba. And make us of those who pray imanan wa ihtisaba. I got the question here. Okay, interrupt the dua very quickly. Inshallah, let me just see. I started to learn sunnah and follow the sunnah. Said we cannot follow Allah because he is a prophet and special. Is it correct? An example, he ate one time a day, but I want to try that. Please advise. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so let me just answer this, inshallah. So not everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, you'll be able to do. But most of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, you can do. Most of his sunnah, you can do. So you're talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eating once a day. Are you talking about in Ramadan or are you talking about outside of Ramadan? If you're talking outside of Ramadan, we have no evidence that the Prophet only ate once a day outside Ramadan. We have no evidence of that. Okay, if you're talking about Ramadan, you can restrict yourself to one meal in Ramadan if you want. But, you know, you do want to do two things, two meals in Ramadan to hit the sunnah. You want iftar and you want suhoor. Now, we talked about suhoor before. It could be just dates. It could be just water. But you have to consume something. So suhoor and iftar. Iftar and suhoor. So no, most of what the Prophet ﷺ did is within reach. And he did it so that we can imitate him. So no. It's not right for someone to tell you, don't follow Allah to what the Prophet ﷺ did because he's a prophet. There are certain things, but there are not many, certain things that he did that only he can do. Most of what he did ﷺ is within reach. And if you cannot do 100% of it, you can do 50% of it, 25% of it. But you're still right within the realm of doing things that he did sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot fast every Monday and Thursday. Fast Mondays, fast Thursdays, fast 3 days every month. That's fine. Within the realm, you can do something like him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? So if you're confused about specific things, ask inshallah. But eating one time a day, that's not a sunnah. Okay, that's not a sunnah. Decreasing your food within reason, right? And you say, okay, what's the limit? One third, let's say, stick to this, one third of your stomach is food, one third is water, and one third is empty. Okay, stick to that, inshallah, and be healthy. Don't restrict your intake of food to make yourself sick. That's not sunnah again. So we're going back, inshallah, to the dua. We ask, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, Ya Arham al-Rahimeen, make us of those who fast Ramadan, Iman and Wahtisaba, so that all of our sins are forgiven. And make Qiyam in Ramadan, Iman and Wahtisaba, so that all of our sins are forgiven. We ask, Ya Rabb al-Alameen, for sincerity in Ramadan. Make us of those who fast out of gratitude and out of love for you. Those who conquer their shahawat and their desires in Ramadan. Ya Allah, as our mouths fast from eating and drinking, allow our tongues to fast from falsehood, and allow our eyes to fast from haram, allow our ears to fast from haram, our bodies to fast from haram, and allow our hearts to fast from haram, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. We ask you, Rabbi Al-Alameen, to make us of those who are freed from hellfire in the month of Ramadan, and of those who worship you on Laylatul Qadr and are accepted, and their ibadah is accepted in Laylatul Qadr. Make us of those who witness Laylatul Qadr and are accepted in it. Allow us, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen, to read the Quran and connect with it in the month of Ramadan. Allow us to do a lot of charity in it. Allow us to do a lot of things that are pleasing to you, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. When we are tired, when we are sick, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen, in Ramadan, allow us to remember you and seek your assistance, and let it help us overcome our own weaknesses and our addictions and lack of motivation. We ask you, Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen, to invite us and make us among the invited in the month of Ramadan, and make us among the accepted in the month of Ramadan. We ask you to bless our parents, bless our spouses, bless our children, bless our families, close family and extended family, bless our neighbors, and bless the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask you to be among the righteous, of those who are guided and those who guide others. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. This concludes, inshallah, the series, inshallah, and we'll see you throughout the month of Ramadan in the 10-minute reminders every day. Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah bless Ramadan for us all, and may Allah Azza wa Jal make it one of the best Ramadans that we have witnessed. We conclude by saying, Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.